You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time looking ahead to the action on Tuesday. Redcar, Exeter, Wolverhampton and Kempton are going to be your tracks on Tuesday, live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 10 past midday. Stephen Powell, Ross Briley and Andrew Mount will be taking you through the action. But for now, to look ahead to Tuesday's action, I'm John Gibby and I'm joined by Ollie Pimlott. Ollie, how are you?
Greetings of the season, John.
Are we there already?
Well, the Christmas lights are up in Leeds, so clearly on this 6th of November, that it's not long away now, just one and three quarter months.
We noticed earlier on that Luke Elder had a Christmas sandwich.
He did. Pigs under blankets. Pigs in blankets.
Indeed.
Pigs under blankets.
Very, very different, but also very festive. So we like that. It'll be the King George before we know it. But in the meantime, good action coming up at Exeter on Tuesday. In particular, Ollie, we're going to go through the Monday jury and the racing post shortly as well. But first up, let's hear your two best bets from Tuesday's
action. Are we going with Tuesday's action first, are we?
Yeah,
This must be a change of tactic.
From one
that I usually have.
I feel like people have different approaches to this, but I like to get straight in there. People want to hear the value. They want to hear your winners, Ollie.
Okay, well, I think they're listening to the wrong podcast, John, if they're looking for winners. Best bet. So we'll go next best first.
Okay.
I like Barney Dwan, 2:35 Exeter, 3 mile novices chase, class 2. It's a good race, this. We don't have any prices in yet. Bally Optic was well backed in a decent handicap hurdle last time, and he shaped to me as though he just got a little bit tired. He was always prominent, faded out of it to only finish 5th of 9 at Newton Abbott under Zach Baker that day. Twist and Javy's horse are in incredibly good form, of course, the 1-2 in the Charlie Hall. At the weekend, they continue in fine fettle. But I think he's worth taking on with Barney Dwan. He was a really smart hurdler. Was second in the Potemps final at Cheltenham last year. Then finished 7th at Aintree, where probably one run too many. Has an official rating of 143, which sets a very decent standard here. And Fergal O'Brien is another trainer who is absolutely flying at this moment in time. He himself had an outstanding weekend. He teams up with Noel Fahili here, and I thought Barney Dwan, he's likely to be probably second favourite, I would have thought, tomorrow. As I say, he was second in the Potemps final, a trainer who's in incredibly good form and arguably could be an even better chaser than hurdler. So Barney Dwan for me, for the very much in form Fergal O'Brien. And when you have Noel Fahili on your team as well riding, that is another tick. Big tick.
Interesting to see Noel Fahili taking the ride over from Paddy Brennan, who was riding for most of last season.
Yeah, I mean, he does ride a lot for these owners, Noel Fahili, and I would say that's probably why, because Paddy Brennan is the stable jockey for Fergal O'Brien. Of course, he rode Colin's sister to a very impressive victory on Saturday, but I think Noel Fahili does ride the majority of these owners' horses, the Rooneys, so that would be why he's taking over, and I would say a positive jockey booking for me.
Barney Dwan for Ollie then for his next best selection on Tuesday. And what about your nap?
My nap, I'm not thinking outside the box here, but it's Politolog.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
Goes in the Holden Gold Cup. I think they got the trip wrong with Politolog last year. This horse is pure speed. If you remember him winning at Ascot last year, John, it was one of the best jumping performances I've ever seen. He was incredible when he beat Rock the Casbah back on the 16th of December. That was in the Mitty Knoll Novices Chase at Grade 2. He jumped boldly, made all clear until 8th, given a breather, and drew away with a Racing Post comments. He jumped boldly is not the word. He was incredible. He attacked every single fence. Then they sent him to the JLT at Cheltenham, obviously, at extended 2 mile 5 furlongs. Finished 4th, and they held him up that day. Then he was going to bolt up at Aintree and sort of knuckled on landing in the Doombar Maghull Novices Chase. He sort of jumped the last fine, and then he pecked and somehow fell when looking home and hosed. So Politolog for me, as I say, he he's one of my favourite horses in training, just with the exuberance that he jumps. And I think finally, after that Michael Novice's chase, I know he didn't win it, but he all but won it. He fell. Well, he just sort of slipped on landing. I think they'll get back to the tactics they did last year. They'll jump him out prominent, get a breather into him, and let him bowl along, because his biggest asset is his jumping. This has got a huge engine, this horse, as I think. I think they've finally realised that 2 miles is his trip. 2 mile 1 furlong to the... Well, 2 mile 2, basically. 2 mile 109 yards, so 2 mile 1.5 furlong. It should be right up his street, tight track like Exeter. I think he'll just jump him silly out in front. I think he'll keep it simple. He'll jump out in front, and he'll jump him into the ground.
We've got to be a serious risk of underrating this horse, I think. I've heard his name mentioned by fairly few pundits in the lead-up to this National Hunt season. But if not falling at the last Aintree, he surely would be a Grade 1 winner already going into his second season of chasing. And some of the displays he put up last season, to beat some good horses in the likes of Vintage Clouds, Rock the Casbah, you know, these kinds of animals.
And he didn't just beat Vintage Clouds at Haydock. He absolutely annihilated him. Beat by Waiting Patiently at Haydock. I mean, that how good a run does that look as well now, having seen Waiting Patiently at Carlisle, who looks one of the nicest horses over fences this season. So his form is rock solid. I think he'll be even better this year now that they've realised that his trip is, you know, 2 miles, 2 mile two.
Well, Politologue, the nap selection then of Ollie Pimlott at Exeter, in fact, for all the Tuesday's racing, which you can hear live on Racing Radio from 10 past midday. But we'll move now from Tuesday's action to look at the Monday jury in the Racing Post. Every week on the Tuesday Racing Podcast, we look at some of the big questions being posed by the industry paper, and we'll go through them now, Ollie. We'll start off with one that looks back on some of the big staying chases from the weekend, and it's asking who would fare best in a Gold Cup, Outlander, Disco or Bristol Demai?
I think they would all struggle in the Gold Cup, if I was honest. Disco, I think he did well to win at Down Royal because it was over a trip far too short for him. He didn't scramble home. That would be unfair on him. He won by a narrow margin, but he still won pretty comfortably. Outlander, he can be brilliant one day, absolutely awful the next. I think he's too inconsistent. And Bristol Demai, he's a flat track bully. He ran a great trial in the Charlie Hall for the Betfair Chase coming up. I think it's going to be hard to beat a Haydock. Flat, sharp track. He's going to be hard to beat Bristol Demai, especially if it turns up soft, where they'll jump him out, he'll devour conditions, and they have him all to beat. But in terms of Gold Cup candidates, not for me, John.
Bristol Demai, when he's on his game, absolutely reeks class. But the problem is, as you mentioned, it looks like he wants a flat track, and he also wants the ground soft. Not many soft ground Cheltenham Gold Cups these days, Ollie.
There's not. And he's generally better at this time of year. So Bristol Demai, as I say, that Betfair Chase at Haydock is absolutely made for him. Generally gets soft ground for it, sharp track. He'll be hard to beat, I think, in the Betfair Chase. But the extended 3 miles at Cheltenham in the spring, not for me.
Well, for the next question, we look at three more horses in the division. This time, horses that failed to get the job done: Conagree, Cucard and R. Duke. Who's most likely to bounce back from the disappointments on the weekend?
I would say Our Duke, because he never went a yard, Our Duke, at Down Royal in the JM Wine Chase. He was off the bridle after the second fence, which is just not him. He was reported to scope dirty, so then you've got a big excuse for him running so poorly. Of the other two, I'm not buying this Sun excuse they've both come out with. I'm not buying that at all. Conagree had a bit of an overreach. And Cucard, well, he just keeps falling, John. That is not a coincidence.
Yeah, he didn't used to fall, did he?
That is not a coincidence. And he's falling the same. He could have broke his neck at Weatherby. I thought for 1 second the poor thing was in trouble, but he got up, much to everyone's relief. But he keeps falling the same way. He's very guessy at his defence. He's done it twice at Cheltenham, and he did it in the Charlie Hall at Weatherby, and Weatherby wouldn't be the stiffest of tracks.
And it's a similar point in the race, isn't it, when they're just starting to wind it
just
up
just starting
a
to wind it up, and he's just pure guessing. I hope for the horse's sake that they don't keep him going too long, because... Yeah. There must be a reason for that. Maybe he's getting a little bit long in the tooth. He's going to be 12 next year, as I say. And Conagree, he's clearly very difficult to train. He's had a lot of injury issues. For whatever reason, he again was beaten far too early in the race for me to say, you know. Nico de Bonneville came out and said that it was the Sun that frightened him. He hit one and then he never went a yard. But
would you be more inclined to take the Sun excuse in Conagree's case?
Possibly, yes. But it's not a coincidence that Cucard keeps falling in exactly the same manner.
Yeah.
Not a coincidence at all. I think they're just trying to find an excuse for him.
But as regards to the question, Arduke most likely to bounce
of,
back.
Of the three, I'd much rather have Arduke. Far less miles on the clock. He doesn't have the injury issues that Koenigsegg's had, and he's not as long as in the two for his Q card. I wouldn't be surprised to see Arduke come back and win a Gold Cup this year. It was just too bad to be true.
Well, moving on from the domestic, jumping action to the international flat, and we're asking what your highlight and low light of Delmar's first Breeders' Cup was. Are you a big Breeders' Cup person, Ollie?
I wouldn't say I'm a big Breeders' Cup person. I watched it and I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't say I'm massively for or against. I think the Delmar track is one of the greatest places to have it because it's basically like Chester, very, very sharp, and if you had a wide draw, your chance was all but gone before you started.
I heard someone say the other day it's like a cross between Chester and Savile, which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah. As I say, if you had a high draw, you had no chance. And if you didn't get the best of runs, as we saw Brian Moore on a couple of occasions get, again, probably the best horse didn't win some of the races. But I did enjoy it. Probably the highlight for me was Wahada, a horse who's had a lot of injury issues. And it was good to see William Buick and Godolphin have a winner on the big stage, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Can't all be Coolmore all the time. I think it's good for the sport with Godolphin having success, and redemption for William Buick, because he rode the Fugue a few years earlier, and when she was beat, he came in the weighing room crying. He was that gutted that she got beat. It was his first Breeders' Cup win, and he was absolutely over the moon. Bit of, as I say, relief for him to get that monkey off his back and get the memory of the Fugue off his back as well. And good to see Charlie Appleby have a big winner with Wahada, who's clearly very talented. They were talking about the guineas for this horse a few years ago, and it just didn't work out. Clearly had its issues, but she's very smart, and say that was probably my highlight. William Buick getting that Fugue monkey off his back and winning on Wahada.
Would you have a low light? Did you wish to be that negative? Or
I wouldn't say there was any low lights. We didn't lose any horses as far as I know.
Yeah.
Say just more the track. It's at Churchill next year, then possibly it's going to go to Santa Anita the year after. I'd just like to have seen it at a fairer track.
I get the sense they're not going to be in a rush to go back to Delmar.
I don't think so. I mean, it looked beautiful on the TV, didn't it? Delmar, yeah, on the Californian coast. But it's going to Churchill Downs next year, and then it sounds like they might go back to Santa Anita the year after, which is a more fair track.
We'll stick with international action now, and, well, ask you about the Melbourne Cup. Now, this is Tuesday's racing podcast, so by the time a lot of people have heard this, the Melbourne Cup would have come and gone. So an opportunity for you to after time here, Ollie. Who do you think is going to win the Melbourne Cup?
Well, not an after time, because I'll look a clown if whatever I say, don't if it gets beat. This is honestly a race where I wouldn't have a strong opinion on, John. I think it's, again, very difficult. The draw, I don't think the draw that Thomas Hobson has is too bad. And I think Willie Mullins has got two big chances with both Thomas Hobson and Wicklow Brave. The style of which he won the Ascot Stakes stamped him as a serious stayer. And as soon as he won that race in Ireland, Willie Mullins nominated the Melbourne Cup as his main target. This is not an afterthought for him. This has always been his target. They've got the magic man, Jao Moreira, riding him. Outstanding jockey, arguably the best jockey in the world at the minute. He just sneaked into the race. And I wouldn't say, you know, off a mark of off 8'3", I think he's well in here. He has been smashed off the boards, Thomas Hobson. Same can be said of Max Dynamite. Of the two, I think Thomas Hobson's a better horse than Max Dynamite. And yet Max Dynamite is 8'4", Thomas Hobson, 8'3". The long home straight should suit him as well. You know, he's generally a horse who has a big long stride, tends to get going late, and that big long home straight at Flemington should suit him. So it's a race I haven't got a strong opinion on. I will watch it, but without any money down. Of the Mullins runners, I do like Thomas Hobson, and the draw of 21, say initially you'd say he's drawn out in the sticks, isn't actually too bad. I think since 99, horses who've been 20-1 or under from stall 21 have won 2 of 5.
Oh,
so it's not too bad a draw for him. So I might have a few shekels each way on Thomas Hobson, but it's not a race that I would have a strong opinion. But obviously, we would love to see a European winner again.
We would indeed. And talking about money, horses, there's been some money coming for this week. Been a little bit of money for my mother, Hugh Morrison's, who's been a big talking horse. Now, the head of the market for this race with us at William Hill time recording, it's 7-1.
Yeah, and he ran a very good trial in the Caulfield Cup, finishing fast into sixth. That's always a good trial for it. And he's got a decent enough draw as well, Marmello. So, again, it'd be good to see Hughie Morrison's horse run well.
Well, it's a nice general question now, Ollie. And it's just, anything else catch your eye this weekend? No pressure, nice and general. Was there anything else?
I have to say Kalashnikov at Wetherby certainly caught my eye, of Amy Murphy's. Amy Murphy wouldn't have that many jumpers. And James Millman alerted me to this horse.
Oh.
on Saturday afternoon. The owners used to have horses with his father, and he'd actually backed it, James, which, given he's the world's tightest man, for him to open his wallet and put a few shekels on this horse
is a tip in itself.
Is a tip in itself, and it duly bolted up. Had one start at a bumper, won very easily at Weatherby. Amy Murphy's a trainer, going places, good young up-and-coming trainer based in Newmarket. So Kalashnikov, of the horses at the weekend to run, would be certainly be one to catch my eye.
And now, slightly similar question, though, doesn't necessarily have to have run this weekend just gone. Give us a jumper to follow this winter.
I have to agree with Brian Ellison here and go with one of his horses that he's put up, Raven Hill Road. I napped this when it won at Sedgefield last time. It was a short price, but it's 4 from 4 now. I know the lad who rode it, Kane Wood, in a bumper, said it was the best horse he'd ever sat on. Oof. And he's sat on some good horses in his time, a young, good, up-and-coming apprentice. Brian Ellison rates it very, very highly. Sounds like they're going to run him in mid-December. And he could be one to be the flagship horse for the North this year, Raven Hill Road. Say he absolutely decimated them at Sedgefield. He's 4 from 4, unbeaten still, and he could be that flag-bearer horse in novice hurdles that the North really needs.
Raven Hill Road, then, the horse to follow off Brian Ellison's for Ollie Pimlott. And as the National Hunt season continues, you can catch all the action on William Hill's Racing Radio on Tuesday live from 12 past midday, the Holden Gold Cup Grade 2, the feature at Exeter. That's all we've got time for on the podcast today. Ollie, thanks for joining me.
John, as always, a pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.